This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Born October 25th in Chicago, Illinois, our next guest got his start performing stand-up and studying improv with the famed Second City Improv Troupe before making a name for himself in such films as Knocked Up, Pineapple Express, Hot Tub Time Machine, The Goods, This Is the End, Sausage Party, and more, as well as on the long-running series, The Office, and on the Peacock series, Killing It. And tonight and tomorrow night, you can see him live on stage at the Funny Bone. Please welcome Craig Robinson.
Look at you, you handsome devil. Look at you, man.
My brother from another mother.
Man, it's so good to see you, dude. And I know all these shows are going to sell out. There's literally no reason for you to come and hang other than you just are being great to us, and I appreciate that.
It's great to be here, man. I'm glad to hear it. Glad to hear y'all wanted to see me.
Funny Bone is all going to sell out. Guys, if you don't get your tickets, if there's anything left now at all, I know the early shows will be gone. The late shows are going right now. Tonight, tomorrow night, two shows each night. Call the Funny Bone. Hello, sweetheart. She's the best, by the way.
She's the best.
She is the best.
Period.
You so listen, we got to get caught up on everything, man. What have you been doing? What trouble you been getting into? What's the news?
I've been hitting these stages, man. Stages out just about every night. If I'm not on the road, I'm in LA doing something, and I got a couple of projects that's popping up here and there.
Well, I mean, you just are always busy. Nobody, and I mean nobody, works harder than you.
Come on.
I'm for real. Like honestly, you're doing commercials, you're doing TV shows, you're doing stand-up, you're doing music. I mean, you have something going on all the time.
This is happening. This is happening, yes.
And you definitely know how to cut loose and have a good time when it's time to do that.
I've had some experience in that, in all of those areas, yes.
I thought of you only because you comfort me so much. we may have run onto some mushrooms and decided to get a little weird and go on a forest walk. And I thought to myself, I wonder if Craig Robinson would enjoy this. I wonder if Craig would find this out music.
Forest walk, without a doubt.
Yeah, right?
It's been a while. Shrooms are tricky, though, man.
Yes.
You know, they're so tricky because, I don't know.
Here's where I like the psilocybin. And I know we're jumping into a straight subject right out of the gate. But in Amsterdam, where you get the philosopher stones, the truffles, those have measurements on them. So they have really good, strict psilocybin measurements. They're like, it's this potency, or you go to the next highest or the next highest, and there's like an FDA approval on it. They're all sealed up. Everything you can get, you know exactly what you're going to get.
Damn.
So my buddy Pyro, who travels with bands all the time, I met him there, and he was like, oh, yeah, you don't pay attention to that. He goes, you always take three times what they tell you. So we did. And that ended. Well, it's hard to tell how it ended because I don't remember most of it.
Was it chocolate
form? No, they taste terrible. They're just little truffles, like they taste like dirt, basically. They're about the size of rabbit turds.
Yeah.
And you just chew them up and try to get them down as fast as you can.
Man, I got a buddy in New Orleans who makes chocolates.
I have a friend in Brooklyn that does.
And it's like, okay, these are this, but these, the stars, those, that's when you're ready to just leave the earth for a few days.
We went on a walk about in the East Village on the perfect amount of a chocolate bar. It lasted about 3 or 4 hours, but super mild, but it was kind of misting in it was November. And just that perfect walk at night where you're just walking around like, oh, everything's okay. Yeah. We should go down to St. Mark's. Let's just go down to St. Mark's. Let's go walk around there for a little while. Yeah. Dude, so what's, I mean, congratulations on the Peacock streaming.
Thank you very much.
On Killing It.
Killing It, yes.
Season 2.
Season 2 is done. I'm not sure if we're coming back or not. I don't think we are. But season 2, yeah, they would have told us by now.
Oh, man. But that's, I mean, listen, that's the way it is. You just go to the next thing, right?
Next thing, yeah, for sure.
What year did you get into this?
Into acting.
Acting. What, in the...
Sure, 99 really is kind of official. Yeah.
You know, everybody, because you look young to me, you still look like the first movie, first TV show, first stand-up I ever saw you in, right?
Well, a couple pounds away, but yeah. I guess you could say.
But, you know, it's you think about it, there's a whole generation of people who grew up seeing you in every avenue.
It's so crazy when people are like, yeah, I grew up watching you. I'm like, shut up, kid. I want to hear that. What are you talking about? No, but it's, it's crazy, man, especially and the rebirth of like The Office through the pandemic and stuff like that, man. It's people are like, yeah, we've watched it 15 times through. Some people, it's just what they go to sleep to. You know,
yes. Whatever. Oh, I did the same thing, man. You did. The stuff you liked, you just put it on and you binge watched it because it was comforting during that time.
I just binge watched Game of Thrones.
Oh, goddamn.
Yeah. I know, right? Like, I'd seen like the first season, and then the girl and I, she had the HBO password, so we broke up. But then,
Craig,
I've been watching. I just finally finished it.
That's true, though.
And then it's crazy, man. It's so much. Incest.
Oh, that's exactly what I was gonna say. I was like, there's a lot of like cousin, midget effing and sister.
Hey, you're my cousin. Let's have sex. Let's get married, cousin. And nobody cares. Nobody says anything about it.
No.
But soon as me and my cousin, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No. That was a super weird. There was some depth to that. Where you're like, hey. And sometimes I found myself getting kind of turned on when I felt like I maybe shouldn't be. And I was like, hey. Hey.
Is that a dragon?
Yeah, for real, that's exactly what I was just thinking. But there's so much great stuff out there. And now there's the vehicles for the kind of comedy I think you bring and you love. Like, you like saltier, edgier stuff. Stuff that, you know, you go, ooh, you know, because that's, to me, that's the stuff I want to laugh at. And with streaming, with, you know, it's not just network television now. You can do stuff and do really what you do. Craig Robinson does best, man, which is make people laugh. You know?
Nice. Nice. I like the way you put that. I didn't think about it like that. I'm such a dinosaur, you know, still worried about TV. But yeah, streaming is the way.
It's the future, right? Yeah, well, you have to embrace it. And isn't it? There's two kinds of people. The kind that fight against the future and that never goes well. Right. Or you embrace it and look to it, and then you have a lot more happiness.
It's so funny that, because I'll be talking about TV and stuff, but here I am doing streaming.
Yeah.
You know, it's already happening. Yeah. It just they shoot it like it's TV, but it, or like a movie, really. But it's all happening.
It's about switching our heads, right? Like, it is television. It comes across the exact same box we watch the other stuff on. It's just a different channel, and it's just us. We got to get our heads around it because radio is the same thing. We stream now. It still comes out of your phone. It doesn't matter if it's in your car or your home, and it's not a radio. It's still the same exact thing. It's audio.
Less rules.
Out. That's right. Oh, listen, as a guy who's had his balls kicked in by the FCC before. I would love to go to just streaming. The problem is I don't think it's going to pay very well.
Right.
It may not pay the rent at this point. But there is a freedom there, right?
Yes.
And, I mean, that's as a comedian, you got to look where that edge is. Like, where's that line? And then
every time
walk right
and
across.
And, yeah, the freedom to, like, for Killing It, you know, I had the guys from Brooklyn Nine-Nine writing, and they wanted to do something so different than Brooklyn. And I think we achieved that. And, you know, it was nice. It's always nice to be able to, you know, just, you know, improvise and have some fun and not be, like, constrained.
Make yourself laugh. If you know.
That's the best.
That's it. If you make each other laugh and you make that thing, because it takes a lot for comedians to laugh. It just does. It's like doing drugs, right? In the beginning, a little got you off. And then you go down that road if you're a comedian, and it takes a lot more to really make you laugh.
Penetrate. Go in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the best barometer. It can't be that Hollywood agent thing where they're like, here's your demographic and you're going to have to do this and this is what you're going to do. There's no way to do that, is there?
Nope. No, you got to go in and just, you know, let it all hang out, so to speak.
How do you, what's your barometer? Like, is it truly like it's just got to make you laugh to go in?
Well, I love to, when I watch something and when I make myself laugh, I'm very like, okay, all right, good. Or like one time I made myself cry, bro.
Yeah.
I was this movie I did called Morris from America. Yeah, check that out. Yeah. Old school.
And what was it that made you cry?
It's this monologue I did at the end. And I actually won an award for doing that part at the, what is it, in Colorado. Not Colorado, I'm sorry, Utah.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about, the film festival there.
Yes,
and,
what's it called?
Oh, God damn it.
Sundance,
yes.
Yeah.
I got the...
That's big.
That's a beautiful,
I'm so proud of that award, because I guess you could tell. But I'm so, you know, because it was like, you know, that's your peers and and voting. And so it was a special jury prize, they call it. So, yeah, I got best actor.
Well, and that's the thing, when it really hits you. And dude, I feel like when I was younger, I wasn't such a pussy. But, dude, there are moments now I see things or you feel things, and, man, the tears hit.
Oh, a commercial could take me out, bro.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm just like, what? This is a tampon commercial. Why am I crying?
Isn't it crazy? And the thing that gets me now, like, real consistently, is any triumph over hardship. Like, real underdog business, when they win, like, forget it. I'm choked up. I'm all effed up inside.
I'm the worst at, like, watching it. Movies, like, I don't even care if it's a bad movie. Once the Calgary comes in, or like somebody, you know, realizes they have to take this on. They do. Yeah, that always goes.
Oh, Rudy, I should cry like a pussy. Rudy, and I'd be like, he's gonna play that little son of a bitch. He's gonna play. Yeah, no, it's you know, that's what makes you a great actor, though, right? Like, you gotta feel, you gotta have them.
Gotta emote.
What's going on with your personal life? What's up with you, man?
I have a girlfriend.
You don't?
I do. Okay. I have a girlfriend. She's upset with me right now.
What happened?
Can you get me out of trouble?
Well,
I made I responded. Oh, I won't get into it. I responded to a girl. It was, I told a friend of mine, happy birthday.
Right.
She said, thanks, handsome. I said, you're mighty welcome, pretty girl. Boom.
Nice. It's a birthday wish.
Accidentally sent the you mighty welcome, pretty girl to my girlfriend.
Bing bong.
Bing bong. So I'm like, beige. It's a whole thing.
Didn't do anything wrong,
in the doghouse.
It's hard to prove that you didn't do it. But really, it isn't bad. But in
to her, it's dishonor and disrespect. And I see it, you know. I gotta curb my enthusiasm.
Well, does she know the girl?
She does not.
Yeah. Is the girl? See, at that point, I pray that she's not as attractive as your girlfriend, so you can be like, "This is her picture. I'm just being sweet."
She's so hot.
Oh God! Like, that's yeah. You can't show her the picture, man. You can't. Has she asked to see it?
I'll get another picture.
Listen, there's a chunky broad down the hallway I can get you to take a picture with. Oh, cool. It's Yeah, no, there's no way out of that one,
Chunky,
man.
Chunky don't mean not pretty, bro. Come on.
But a bit of a donkey, though.
A donkey? A chunky donkey?
Yeah, chunky donkey.
That's different.
You know, the teeth that could eat, you know, corn through a fence type thing. You know, it's not so good. Not so good. No, I don't mind thick. Thick is nice.
Oh, thick is good.
Do you have one type of girl?
No.
See, me, that's either, right?
Rainbow spectrum.
Well, yeah, and it's weird to me when people have one type. I'm like, do you like the same food all the time?
Mm.
Sometimes I want it to be Asian. Maybe I want it to be Mexican.
Hey, you travel, right?
That's right.
What you gonna do? Not.
That's right.
Fall in love everywhere you go.
That's true. Favorite nationality.
Me?
Do you have one? Yeah.
Do I have favorite nationality?
Like, for when you look at a girl and you go, oh, that, yes, that's that.
That's that.
Yeah. For me, it would have to be. It's probably South or Central American. Like, I have a real deep spot for that.
Wow, nice. I probably got to go black girl.
Yeah, just, dude, I'm down.
If I was to go all the way back.
One of the first experiences I ever had was this beautiful black girl lived up the street from me. And she, I think we were 15. She was, whew.
Yeah.
Dude, beautiful.
Women on this planet.
Man. Listen, I like them all.
There's some pretty
like
women on this planet.
They go
pretty
crazy.
Women in the city, man.
Till they go crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a girl told me one time, crazy comes with it. So, you know, you kind of have to I mean, we have a lady here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you, Nick. Look, Nick will stab you.
We had no. I love you until I don't like you. We had just had a discussion about crazy because I didn't realize you and my husband both had scenarios where you had ex-girlfriends that stole Christmas ornaments and like cut them up, burned them. Who steals Christmas items from a tree? You crazy bitch. Pictures. It's like cutting pictures of like whoever the girl is out of the picture.
Oh, I ran around with a girl one time who told me she had taken her boyfriend's box of photographs, and if there was a girl, it didn't matter if it was his mom or a sister or a cousin or a stranger, cut all their faces out and then put all the pictures back in the box again. I couldn't stop effing her.
Wow. they got the best.
I had a girlfriend that cut the crotch out of the guy's pants, all his jeans, all his pants, everything that was in the closet after he cheated on her.
Oh,
I thought she was doing it so
access.
Not for good reasons.
I want to be ready. Dude, I'm sure you have. You run into that girl. You get older and you learn that it can't last. But when you're younger, you're like, you can turn a hoe into a housewife. Like you can like the dirtier and the sex, you're like, I can cure this. And you're like, you can't cure this, man. The sex is gonna be amazing, but she's gonna stab you, man. Like it's gonna go bad.
I don't think I ever tried to cure anybody.
Oh, I have. Are you kidding me? You never gone to a strip club and been like, if she just had a good man, she'd be okay.
Oh no, I don't think like that. No.
Oh, I was young. What happened? Did you come on? You remember the crazy one? You had, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, for sure. I had a girl who's I don't want to conjure up anything.
You're afraid you're manifesting crazy?
I don't want to manifest a phone call.
Don't say her name three times.
How did you find me? No.
Beetle Cooch. Yeah, no, I've had some ones, like there was one, she climbed up, and we just ran around for a minute, but just kind of crazy that disturbingly hot, she's just perfect, and she climbed up, we're in bed, complete naked, she's sitting on my chest, and she's looking down at me, and she's not a very big girl, and you know, that hot, you know, on your chest, and she looks down, puts two fingers underneath my chin like this, and she goes, if this was a gun, I could kill you. And my D got hard as a rock. I went straight back to work, Craig.
Bro.
For real.
Okay, I thought of one. One time, this girl was at my apartment when I had an apartment. And she, you know, we were dating or whatever. And I had some ecstasy. She had never had it. She wants to try it. And I was like, well,
it can be great.
I'm not going to give it to you if you've never had like this. I'm not going to be the one. I don't know how you're going to respond.
That's right.
I just don't know.
That's right.
And she was like, but I want it. I was like, I'm not, sorry. She sat on the couch, turned around on the couch, faced the wall, and began to, boom, she hit her head into the wall.
What the?
Boom. Boom. And like. Boom. And I mean, I wish I could see my face. As I think about it, it was entertaining me. I was like, what the F are you doing? But I didn't think that she could have been setting me up, you know, for police to come.
She's got a mark, right?
Yeah. So, but she really was like, that was her way of trying to get me to give her the ecstasy.
Wow. Wow, that's an interesting technique for the first time you guys have a go sideways on I want you didn't hold your breath, you didn't pout, you didn't withhold sex, you just started head beating the wall.
Right.
I might have just had it booty bumped it right in her.
I only
I just pushed it with one finger right in. Boom. That's yours. It's all yours.
Yeah, I was out of there after year.
I had to get out. I had some buddies in a band who stopped by, and they brought these girls by, and they had a tour bus parked outside the house. And one of the girls, whatever, she decided I was the one, and we end up in the bedroom. But she wants me to, like, it starts out with just slap the ass and just pull her hair a little bit, but it gets to her, like, want me to whack her, and I can't. It's not my jam. Like, just full-on slapping a girl in the face, it just is not my jam.
Do you have a number?
Yeah, right. Not, I don't feel that way until after we've dated. And I finally was like, listen, and I was trying to put the condom on, and you know how it is, like, you get distracted and then weirded out, and then it's like a sock half off your foot, and you're like, I was like, man, She fought me all the way out of the house, called me a pussy, called me everything you could possibly imagine. The guys are howling in the front room, and I'm literally trying to shove this broad out of my front door because I would not kick her ass while I was having sex. I never got to the sex part. I never got anything from her. And she must have stood outside my house yelling for 10 minutes, just calling me everything.
Trying to get you to...
I guess trying to make me mad enough to eff her and beat her up a little.
Fine, here you come.
get your ass here back in this goddamn house.
Wow, do you have a book out, bro?
No. No, these are just the embarrassing truths of life, right? Like
that's the title of your book, yeah. Embarrassing Truths of Life.
Well, listen,
you're welcome.
Thank you. That would be a good title because everything I feel like I go through is just an embarrassing truth I end up sharing with people that I don't want to tell them, but somehow the moment arises and I go, I'm going to tell them.
You good? I think it helps you draw stuff out because I almost went to a memory that... I don't think I've ever spoken, so I'm not doing it. But I'm just saying, you almost got me. It's like, well, it's a good technique.
See, had we been high enough, it'd happen.
Oh, for sure.
We'd be like, and this is what's going on. Dude, it's, but that's life. And fame is weird, man. You grew up in Chicago.
Yeah.
And, you know, it when it happened for you and you realized women were going to come at you like the way they are, because there's no fame like TV fame and movie fame. And I've had friends in bands, and that's big. But it got to a reality show for him. And even though he'd toured with Aerosmith and done platinum records, mm-hmm. that TV show, there's no fame like that 8 to 80. Everybody knows your face. Walk down the street. It's on you. And girls want to know you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was that like when that happened for you?
I'm still kind of waiting on that moment.
You are so full of ass. You're so full of ass, Craig.
Look, I tell you what. It's a tale of two Craigs. Because there's a Craig that's like, man, you don't want to get out there and kick. But then once you're in that light, now you're like, you know, you have to, I don't know, I become a different person. I'm not interested.
No, it's what happened. You
it's
get
so,
more
it's so weird, right? You know, because yeah. it's like, wait, no, but you got to be cool. You can't look thirsty, you know, all this stuff. So
yes. You get guarded.
You get for sure guarded. And then you don't know who wants what because of what and this and that. And I've always figured myself an acquired taste. So, you know, so sometimes you see right through it. Sometimes you just don't know. And sometimes years later, people are like, you know, I liked you. What? You did?
Are you terrible at asking a girl out?
No.
If you like her? Because I'm terrible.
No.
Like if I really like a girl, I can't. I'm terrified of getting shot.
Really?
I hate it. It so much.
Hey, what's up?
I'm going to try that. Of course, being a little more handsome, a little more talented might help me.
I don't know. I just can't do it like over. I've been shot now. Maybe it's because I've been shot so many times.
Yeah, ain't afraid to die anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Right, like,
yeah. Hey, I brought y'all gifts, man.
What do you got, man?
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, and I got one for your producer over there.
Yes, Mr. Jake.
It's $10 on each of these.
What?
You're not a good man.
You
listen,
you're
you good, think I don't love pizza? Man. You've lost your mind. By the way, I don't know if you understand what you did. I couldn't see you, your hand, and I heard this. I went, what?
We can't do that. That's kick
ass.
That's that's how you're getting ass. You're like, hey.
Craig realized what I just heard him say. But he was tapping.
I just left Diddy's house.
I was like, what?
Huh?
That's the stripper mating call right there. Dude, thank you, man. God. By the way, are you still doing it with them, or has that run its course?
I think it's run its course.
But, yeah. I mean, the Pizza Hut, by the way, I goddamn love it, and I love your commercials.
$10. You got a nice calzone for that, man.
Dude, for real.
You
hey,
$2 left over.
If you think that isn't what I'm having tonight, I'm telling you, that's going down. That's happening tonight, man. All right, listen, let me take a break. Can you hang for a little while, Craig?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to talk about everything, man. I want to find out what's going on with you. Of course, you're going to be at Funny Bone this weekend, Zona Rosa. We'll talk about killing it. We'll talk about everything that you've done and everything you've got going on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Born October 25th in Chicago, Illinois, our next guest got his start performing stand-up and studying improv with the famed Second City Improv Troupe before making a name for himself in such films as Knocked Up, Pineapple Express, Hot Tub Time Machine, The Goods, This Is the End, Sausage Party, and more, as well as on the long-running series, The Office, and on the Peacock series, Killing It. And tonight and tomorrow night, you can see him live on stage at the Funny Bone. Please welcome Craig Robinson.
Oh.
Look at you. Dude, I feel like poor Craig comes in here, he hangs out with us, which I love, and then I keep asking him questions throughout the commercial breaks, where it just never ends for him. He's like, this guy never shuts up.
Well, weren't you a teacher? It's kind of like talking to a little kid at school, but why? What about this?
Dude, I just think you're so interesting,
not at all.
Man.
We have a great time.
You know, well, I just think all the stuff you've done, like I was thinking about the... All the voice work you've done in between Shrek and Sausage Party and
Bad Guys is one that's current. We did Bad Guys and we got Bad Guys 2 we're working on.
But that's
where I play the shark.
That's hard. I don't care what anybody says. It's hard to do.
I mean, that's not hard to do.
Well, when you have talent, well, it's not hard to do, apparently. When you have that.
I worked for this.
But you created that. You know, that voice isn't your voice. It's a created character, right? You have to give it a personality in your head.
Yeah, that's true. It's still my voice. Yeah. I like to when I do a new voice character, and I haven't worked with the people, and I'm like, hey, I just want to try something, and they're like, yeah, go for it, and then
So, I was thinking.
And they'd be like, what?
Right? But they don't want to offend you. So how far does it go before they call it
just
off?
Just a couple of seconds. And then I'll laugh. And like, oh, my God. Thank you.
Dude, it's just so good, man. All the stuff we were just talking about. Just the movies and that you have been a part of it. You always end up stealing such a great chunk of the movie, you know? It's just, and it's not easy to do, but you've got that ability to steal that scene, to be the clip that people remember. What do people say to you most when they see you? Like, the phrase that gets tossed at you.
Oh, the phrase would be, man, you got hot head, you got, take your panties off, you got, oh my gosh, how come I'm drawing a blank now?
Yeah, of course, I know that every time.
I mean, it's a ton. They yell out movies at me. Hot tub.
The nasty delicious. Somebody's effing your lady.
Nasty D. Somebody saying that to me yesterday. Somebody's effing my lady. Yeah. But yes, it's a lot of different.
Well, you remember this one?
Man said you got British Knights on. I ain't seen anybody wear them since 1987.
No! What the hell are you doing?
Dad told me to kill him.
Well, how about a little f***ing discretion here?
See right there. You see it? You catch it?
See what?
You used to not give a f*** about discretion. I seen you pull somebody's jawbone off.
Yes.
I seen it. You was ruthless. You was ruthless, man.
Yeah.
I think it is definitely up there. Yeah.
And I don't know that we've talked about the James Brown movie. Man, I think that's great. I thought it was great.
Maceo. Dude. I met Maceo like a week after I wrapped that. I went to his concert in New York at Blue Note, And then he was kind of laughing because I'm so much bigger than him. He's yeah. like, I guess I could see it.
Dude, did you, you're maybe too young. Did you ever cross with James?
I saw him at the House of Blues, I don't know, a few years before he died at the House of Blues in LA. It was sensational.
Yeah. No, when I first got in the business, we were doing a thing called Spirit Fest downtown Kansas City, and he was the headliner. And so he called the show a couple times. I mean, I'm young. I'm 23, 24. And the thing I'll always, a couple things I remember, but everybody was a Mr. and Mrs. You're Mr. Johnny, Mrs. Murphy. You were, everybody on the crew for them was a Mr. or Mrs. Yeah, it was always very respectful. But I went to the show, and somebody brought me to say hello before he started. And he got real serious with me. I mean, he made hard eye contact, and he said, Mr. Johnny. And he brought me over, and he goes, I want you to stand here. And he's very direct. Points at the ground, he goes, and watch me. And I went, goddamn right I will. Like, I'm just a kid. And I knew it was special, and I knew it was incredible. But now I think back on it, and I go, God damn, dude, he told me to watch him. Like, and I watched him. And I get goosebumps now. I got a picture of me standing next to him somewhere in my phone that I had to take a picture of the film photograph because it was obviously pre-digital stuff. But he was something else, man. In that movie, I just felt like it nailed it. I feel like the movie nailed it, man.
So you got is he in the picture with you?
Or yeah,
is
it yeah.
Just you, the picture of you watching James Brown.
Oh yeah. Well, no, we're standing next to each other. This was the picture before. But I know. I wish somebody would have taken a picture of me from behind, like watching him.
Yeah.
But he was. Yeah, I mean, you know, he was Mr. Excitement.
Mr. Dynamite.
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Dynamite. Yeah, he was. But he had it all the dance moves, everything, man. I remember even thinking at a young age, going, "How do your knees even?"
Prince, Michael Jackson. You know, it's like that's why. They exist.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I saw another great, crazy talent, Screaming Jay Hawkins, at a place called the Grand Emporium here. Came out in a coffin. We were just kids, man. It was crazy. But it's just fun, man. Like, you get starstruck?
Not lately, but yeah, I have for
I
sure.
I do, for sure. There's certain guys I love so much that I just can't think. I just think.
I did a movie with Eddie Murphy. I did two with him, but one was a Shrek Forever After. So
right.
It was mostly I was in a booth and was selling my press stuff. But when we did Dolomite Is My Name.
That's right.
So I had to Eddie Murphy is why I'm doing comedy pretty much. And like I would see him and be like, so I had to be in this scene, you know, scenes with my freaking idol and just try to act.
How long does it take you to get out of it?
And be like, get out the way. I said, let me just do my job, to your job. Because I'm just sitting there looking and thinking, ice cream! Kill my landlord. Like, everything's going through my head.
Oh, I sat in the movie theaters as a kid watching Raw.
Exactly.
Did you finally break down?
I wanted a goddamn red leather suit. I still want a red leather suit. But did you break down and tell him? Did you finally go, listen, I love you so much, and this is why. And I just
I try not to do
it. See, I do it. I didn't used to. But then I just gave up, and I went, dude, I want people to know how much I love him. I really do. I just tell him now. I just go, I think you're incredible.
I've said it in probably interviews and stuff. You know, even I remember we were doing a cast interview. Eddie wasn't there, but they were like, who do you think is the biggest Eddie fan? Everybody's like, Craig. I didn't even know they knew it like that. But
yeah, but rightfully so, he changed the game.
Changed the whole game. But let me tell you something. We were filming, and he wasn't in the room yet. And then and I had come up with this improv. And then Eddie came in, and the director was like, da-da-da. Oh, yeah, and then he threw out my improv. And then Eddie was saying, okay, this, that, and that. Oh, yeah, and that's funny. Da-da-da. But he didn't know I had said it. He just was like, he just commented on what the director
right, right,
said.
Right, right, right.
So, and they stuck with it. So that, for me, that was
hell
just like,
yes.
That was my improv. Eddie Murphy just called funny. Yeah.
How long did you take for you to tell somebody else that had happened?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe 4 seconds.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know if I should. I'm like, I'm telling someone. Like, it's too good.
Bro, I was at I did this thing, the Comedy Central Awards, the commies, and Jerry Minor, who's the other half of Elle Witherspoon and Chucky, we did the song "Somebody's Ever My Lady." So we did it on this show, Comedy Central Commies, and Rodney Dangerfield was there. I think he got an award then, and he said, "Wow, you're very funny, very funny." Like Rodney freaking Dangerfield,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah. The
So if somebody tells me I'm not funny, I'm like, yeah, well, hey. Ronnie Dangerfield's on me. Eddie Murphy. So, you know,
and
I'm going to go ahead and roll with what they were saying.
I'm sure you crossed paths with Charlie.
I did. One time. Yeah, yeah. He couldn't
him.
Have been more nice, and he was very, you know, he was genuine. Just
yes.
Super cool. It was real quick interaction. Man, such a cool dude, man.
So when I first met Charlie, he was starting stand up. Mm-hmm. And you know how terrible it was. Like, it's Eddie Murphy's brother, that the shadow thing. And Charlie's, you know, he's no punk. Like,
no, I mean,
he came in hard the first time, and he's just looking at me because he doesn't know me from anybody, right? I'm just another jack off disc jockey guy. And over the years, getting to be where it was okay and everything, and then actual friends, and then he wrote The Making of a Stand Up Guy. And really, man, we got a great connection. Then I never knew he was sick, though. And then I got the word he had passed away. And I will tell you, genuinely sad, because he was something. He was really great. He became. He happened, mm-hmm. man.
Yeah, yeah.
And he could tell some stories
yeah.
that are goddamn straight in your hair. Like, dude, he talked about shoving a gun in one of Eddie's sycophant's mouths early on. And he's on air telling us this story. And he just got comfortable, and he was sitting at a table, and Eddie was just hotter than anything. Just, you know, it's Saturday Night Live. It's you know, Beverly Hills Cop. And those kind of people, those Hollywood people try to get between you. You know, they're his new best friends.
Right.
And he's sitting at the table, and he just, Charlie Murphy just explained it, like how, and he tried to get between me and my brother. And it said, I walked upstairs, and he came back down with a gun and just pushed it in the guy's mouth and explained to him how that would never be a possibility to come between he and Eddie. And I mean, some great stories. And he was a great person, man. I can't tell how much I enjoyed him. Had he gotten to live and not gotten sick, I think he had so much more. And he had a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He had a lot in the tank, man.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah, he was just beginning. But it's just those guys, man, you get to meet along the way, right?
Yeah.
And I've never got to meet Eddie. That's just, this will surprise you, Craig, but he's not calling me.
What? why were you close with Mooney?
Mooney would come through, and, you know, and everybody will tell you, anybody at strip club will tell you, hey, he hated morning radio. And in all honesty, I don't think he was fond of the white people all that much. And he was known for coming in, and he'd throw his feet up on the table, and he'd put a newspaper up like this, and you could ask him a question, but he would cover it. Like, that's how it went the first time. So my technique was always to dig in, learn everything I could, and show him that I'm a real fan. I knew what he had done, like his work with Richard Pryor, Live on the Sunset Strip, what all that world was when Richard was out of control and Paul was not, and just everything. And slowly but surely, you know, it happened. And Paul was, man, he's important to comedy, and I'm a big fan of comedy. So even though I think some of the audience didn't know why, I would put him on for as long as he would stay. Because, dude, without him, there's so many people who wouldn't be. I mean, his incredible gift.
He's where, when I was getting into comedy, and I knew I wanted to do it, and I was like, I'm going to figure this out, I would listen to him for strength. Like, he had no fear.
Right.
And he just said what needed to be said, said his truth, and it was just like, it was everything for me. I couldn't stop listening to him.
No, I felt the same way. The scene in Bamboozled,
mm-hmm.
where he's keeping his teeth white. And I remember that scene. I was just sitting in my house going, God damn. Like, yeah, I'm watching that. Then to meet him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then to meet him face to face. Like, and then one day you realize he actually smiles, and he meant it, you know? Or he came in the room, and the handshake got warmer. And it meant a lot to me. But, I mean, those guys really do. It just matters to me, man.
I opened for him one weekend.
How was that?
It was the best, man. I was, you know, like, again, trying to just keep it cool, respectful, stay out the way, but, you know, show I love you.
Yeah. No, that book he wrote, I have a closet of things I treasure. And one is the book he wrote before he passed away. Yeah. And, no, I think about him a lot, man. Again, he doesn't get the credit or the love, I think, in the bigger community that I wish he did, because he was incredible. And he was fearless. And he was even self-destructive. You know, that anger would come out, and I think it would boil over sometimes, and right. he'd just go, that's the line, bing, and he'd just jump across it and just start whipping it with both hands.
Yeah, man. He was no stranger to people walking out on his shows.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And I love that. That's my You know, that's the sickness, right? When you're a kid, listening to those albums over and over again, memorizing them, taking them to school, repeating them, plagiarizing them, you know? And you know, Carlin's Seven Dirty Words, that love of that. Was that you? Were you the same kid, just hiding away, just listening, just...
Richard Pryor.
Yeah, of course, man. Sure. That was like... Yeah, man. Dude, I went back, and I never... Because I was a kid growing up with Sanford and Son, so I found old Red Fox acts, and I was like... Oh, God damn.
He was like, on a whole nother level, man.
Holy God damn. Like it was so much more than...
wordplay, yeah.
Yeah. But it was... But I loved it so much. I was just sitting there and just wonder how these people could even be, like how their brains even worked. As a little kid, you're like, how did you know to do that? And I mean, as a kid, remember thinking, how did you know to do it like that and say it like that? And I just became a big fan of it all, man.
It's funny. I'm figuring that out about... myself as I get older in comedy, and I see how I write now, and like, it's, you know, stuff will come to me, and then I workshop a joke and like really go, like I'm entering a new place,
yeah,
and my even jokes that I've been doing for years, like it's, oh, I can add a pause here, and that, you know, adds this, and it's an interesting journey I'm on.
Well, it shows that you're hungry still, and you want to be what you know you can, at least get as close as you feel like you can to that thing that you always shoot for, right?
Yeah,
and
strengthen that connection with me and audience. Yeah,
yeah, and not everybody continues down that path, because you can have so much success, I think, for so long that it can get dull. That hunger, that electricity, can get dull for some, but for you, for the greats, for the ones who really keep moving forward, man, it's always there. Like, can I get up in the morning and I have a little bit of fear in my stomach? I just think, today, do it good, man. Don't do it good today. Don't forget how to do it. Like figure out how to do it, John. And do you ever have an off night and think, I forgot how to do it?
What?
Like, dude, I used to go home. I will tell you
absolutely.
This. Okay, because I will tell you. I was like, man, I will tell you. I used to go home. I'd have a terrible show, and this it still happens, but not as much as it did. And I'd go home, and I'd be so goddamn bummed out because I thought I knew how to do it yesterday. But today, I didn't even know how to do it.
As soon as you think you got it all figured out, crashing down. But I just want to share this quote I just heard. I guess Cus Tomato told Mike Tyson, fear, and I think I heard Rogan repeat it, but fear is it's like fire. You can cook with it, or you can burn your house down with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's
real. And I have a similar thing I've learned that fear, like people ask, do you get scared of fear when you get on stage? I'm like, yeah, but it's energy. It's meant to lift you.
That's right.
You know, give you that extra oomph so you can be performing in front of these people.
That's it.
And don't let it take over. Oh my God.
Yeah, and don't let it go out though.
Exactly.
You got to have it, man. You got to have a little fear in your gut.
It's your edge.
Yeah, yeah. It keeps you alert, awake, and yeah, it takes you that edge. And you can see when people lose it. I mean, it really is apparent. It doesn't matter if you're a band or a comedian. It's when it's a live performance, or what you're putting into the song, or you're putting into the joke, you're putting into the story, you can see it and you can feel that they don't have it anymore. I mean, how many great bands have you loved? That first record, their whole life is packed into those stories. And the second one was all limousines and cocaine and all the vagina in the world. And you're like, oh, this sounds different to me. This doesn't sound as real. But it's, what do you do to keep that, man? How do you keep from, because it's natural to get a big head. You've done blockbuster movie after blockbuster movie. You've done sold out shows. You have opened, you have rubbed elbows with everybody. You are, you know, you're part of the real Hollywood. You're not, you know, overnight success. You're not a flash. You're not a one trick. It's a real scope of work. How do you keep from getting, you know, that head?
You buy a house and, have to make payments.
Right. You don't buy it outright. You just make sure you're like, eh.
I got work to do, buddy.
Yeah.
I got work. You want to hear this song?
Yes.
A little bit.
So
little bit, little
this
bit.
Is the Nasty D.
Nasty D. The Nasty Delicious.
F and My Lady was what you guys know from before.
And this is just coming off my my phone, so
yeah,
it's not in there. This is, let me see.
Hey. Hey.
I wanted to be free, but freedom ain't for me if it's without you.
So yes, a little bit like
that's baby making music.
Yeah, you know, it's our first single, and that it came up. I was in I heard a song a while back. We were in Australia, me and the band, and everywhere we went, bro. First of all, I had just broke up with this girl, and then me and the band, everywhere we went, they were like Brooklyn 99. So some kind of way, I was teasing some guy. I was on stage, and I was thinking about my girl back home and wanted to be back with her. And then Brooklyn 99, so I was like, Rosa. And then, so I took the Rosa that I do from there and it turned it to a song.
How much of that are you writing? I mean, obviously lyrically, but instrumentally, like what are you writing?
I did, you know, the chords, and then we got, you know, horn section, and my brother arranged it. So it's
because that's not simple, what we're hearing. I mean, that's real.
It's from the heart.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Your talent pisses me off. It does, goddamn it.
Had an Earth, Wind, and Fire vibe.
Yeah.
It had an Earth, Wind, and Fire vibe to it.
Hey, now you're talking.
Yeah.
I just went to see them 6 times last year.
Did you really?
They were with Lionel Richie.
Tour. See, dude.
We're going to see them in June.
Anybody who loves anything that much, I'm down with. Like that true ego, I'll go see them another 10 goddamn times.
Bro, we, you know, it's hard to be entertained. Unless for me, like, you know, I kind of grew up with the people. Like, so when I see, you know, these legends performing, I try to hop on. I'm going to see Jeffrey Osborne in June, man. And
sure.
I saw him perform not too long ago with Dave Koz. And I mean, Jeffrey Osborne is like, he's 70, like, and he's
and
just
smooth.
Killing it. Like, he came out, he's like, he was 25. He's running around the stage and stuff. But
this is stuff when you were a kid, you didn't have the money, and now you have the opportunity, right? Yeah, so you do it. You just do it. You get on that plane and you go, man.
And I know the music. I know it's good music.
Yeah.
And, you know, shout out to all the young artists now. I love to, like, latch on and see what's going on, but it's hard, you know. I'm stuck in I keep playing the same things on repeat on my phone.
Listen, sometimes it's just what we love, and sometimes you get reminded of the stuff that you loved and you maybe forgot about. You come back to it and you go, oh, goddamn, I forgot about how much I love this. I was lucky enough to go with my friend Jesse to the Cannery in Nashville for the celebration of Stax Records. Mm. And you know, the first black-owned record label. And he came walking in, the owner, and he's tall. He's like 6'5", just straight. And I was like, holy hell. Like, you know, it's like watching the Pope go by and then Booker T and the MGs played. Mm. And we were just like, God damn.
Nice.
Like, I mean, it was crazy.
That's a night. That's a fun
night
right there.
But you just realize you're getting to see it. Like, you're getting to touch history. It's you know, any of the older acts, especially, man, that you know are not going to be around for long. You just getting to brush any elbow with them to see them is again, like James Brown.
Not that he's old enough, but I saw LL Cool J not so long ago.
But it was great.
You're talking about the GOAT.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, he was, his energy was crazy. Crazy. He was incredible.
Yeah. No.
I couldn't believe it. I've seen him a couple times, but this last one was like one song. He jumped up and down. He might as well have been on a jump rope. The whole song he was jumping. It was like, where are you getting this? What are you?
And where
his
does
body
it come
is
from?
Still crazy. He did one lift up of the shirt. It was like,
yeah. Said F. Nelly. Yeah. But it's just, yeah, there's some of those ones. And then there's great weird stuff like I love. Like, I don't know if you know, so the Ice-T, which is OG record, was a game changer for me. But he has a metal band called Body Count, which is fantastic. I saw them both play at the same night the year that Body Count put out that song Cop Killer. And clearly, Ice knew it was going to make a lot of noise and it was going to make everybody go crazy. And it was part of that fantasy thing that he had been doing, you know. And again, it was telling stories, it was horror stories. They were dark stories, they were what it was, but it got so much attention. We walked in, he did a set, and then Body Count was headlining at this bar lined with cops down in Westport. And I just looked around, I was just, I don't know, maybe 23, 22, and looked around and just was like, this is either going to be the greatest show I've ever seen, or this is going to end in tear gas and curtain tears, man. Like, this is all going to be bad. And they just, that place went insane. It went the level of hardcore street stuff and hardcore punk rock level 10s.
Why were they there? Were they trying to tell him not to do it?
Yeah, well, that was the whole thing, right? Like, it was, you know, obviously, it's a very polarizing, terrible statement. I don't believe in it. But I also put everything where it is. When Iron Maiden sang Number of the Beast, I didn't worship the devil either. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, it was, you remember, Warner didn't want to put it out. There was all kinds of boycotts. Shows got canceled. Some bars wouldn't put him in. Somebody wouldn't let him play because of that. And now it seems like it's not the worst thing we've ever heard, but I will tell you, at the time, it was a big goddamn deal.
Was that pre-F the Police or post?
Greg, it was, would you say it's post?
Post.
Post, yeah. Yeah, it was after that. But it was making rounds into that metal world, right? So it got a lot more attention. Huh. So from the people who were super afraid of the whole thing, of rock and roll killing us. But isn't that the best, man? I want rock and roll to scare your parents. I think you shouldn't be able to share a band with your mom and dad. Like, what's worse than your dad going, I like that band too. Let's go to that concert together. You're like, no, Dad, you have to hate this. My dad smashed a Cheech and Chong record because of listening to it because it had dope on it.
Wow.
Swear to God. And then I caught him watching a movie downstairs on Cinemax, goddammit.
Did you smash the TV?
No. I sat down. I was like, it's funny, isn't it? It was Up in Smoke.
Oh.
And then he understood, you know. Wow. Then he knew it was a joke. It wasn't drugs. It wasn't wrong. I did do drugs, but you know what I mean. I would have done drugs anyway.
Man, my father thought I was on drugs. I couldn't have been more than 12 years old.
Were you?
And no, I wasn't. But what happened was I got into a fight at camp or something. And so when I went to the dentist, because he had, like, knocked my teeth loose, the dentist shot me with, like, codeine or whatever it is they use. And then he told my father, he said, because I hadn't passed out yet, whatever, he said, that boy is on drugs. I staked my career on it.
No!
Because he couldn't get the vein or whatever. Like, and then so... Now, this dude has shot me. Now, I'm in the car with my father. I remember this, though. Even though I was drugged out of my mind, my father was like, sit up. What's wrong with you? Like, we just left the dinner. What are you talking about? I was, my God. And he said the words, I staked my career on it. I was 12, 12 or 14.
So how long did it take your dad to believe you weren't on drugs?
I don't know, years.
Yeah.
Not years, but he knew, you know, he realized it. Later, that was ridiculous. But, until I was actually on drugs.
Then. You know,
it's like he was speaking to the future. Dad.
Yeah, no, I had a few of those nights. We used to have this great uncle, Uncle Bigot, and Thanksgiving dinner. But I had long hair, and he looked right at me in the middle of dinner, Thanksgiving, and then looked at my dad and he said, "You get that boy drug tested. He is absolutely that's drugs right there." I was like. Goddamn, Uncle Bill. Like, why being such a dick? Like, I was on drugs. For the record, I was definitely smoking weed.
Well, you're like, yo, can we just eat?
Can I get some of those rolls, goddamn it? But yeah, no, there's nothing worse than getting ratted out to your parents about drugs.
It makes it weird, yeah.
Did you ever do that thing when you were younger and you had to go home on drugs and you realized you didn't want to go home, but there was no choice but to go home?
I didn't really do, like, until I got to college, I started smoking weed. So I was at the house, so I did. I think I was high around my parents once or twice.
God, dude. Now I feel like a terrible human. We were dropping acid in eighth grade.
No, I was, no, dude, that was not. See, I went to school. My mother drove me to high school. Like, she worked at the school I worked at.
Oh, so she was were not getting away with
that. Yeah, it was.
Jake's mom was a lunch lady.
It was not happening.
What was your mom, a teacher?
She was taught music, yeah.
Yeah, you know? That's right. That's
and my father's an attorney, you know, so.
You weren't getting away with dick.
Yeah, I had to wait. But then made it worse because then I got out the house and I was like, oh boy, here we go. Hi, everybody.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!